We didn't do the Mishabur at all yet. So the first halacha that the Mechaber said is in a case where a person does lisha after the zman is, or person baking a dough after it eats ready erev Pesach after the zman is. So the water which is used to the person to wash up the person's hands, and the water which is used for kituf, which you would smooth down the face of the matzah, etc. So that water has particles of chametz in it. So that particles of dough in it, which will become chametz. So now you have a problem of what do you do with this water, which has chametz in the, it's going to become chametz. So you can't put it in a place where it'll gather together. You have to put it in a place where it's an incline, and therefore the water will flow away and will not gather together and become chametz. So that's the first halacha. So the Mishnah Berurah on that. Achazman. Because zman yisur, but it would indicate before the zman yisur, shevchem mechatzer filo shleibim alka midrit, that you're allowed to pour it into your chatzer, even in a place where it's not inclined, and the water will gather, and it'll become chametz. So now you have chametz in your chatzer, but that's not our achrayis. By throwing it out, you're showing it's not chashuv to you. So that's the equivalent of a mice of bittul or a mice of making it worthless. So that's not a problem. That's what you can be medayik from the Shulchan Aruch, because you only raise this issue after zman is. The vedas abach vataz the filu kadam zman isur ein l'shevchem b'chaseroi shaloi b'malkem midrin. Even before the zman isur, you're going to have the same problem. He says in the shartzin and the grows also mashma like that. Now, this is a problem which exists even before. But why do you want to have this water sitting in your chatzer with all of these particles in there which will become chametz, and now it comes Pesach? There's this cesspool of chametz sitting in your chatzer. So what do I gain? The fact that it's before this zman yisur, but I have this chametz here, which is problematic. So this water, which water are we referring to? Elo amayim, this water. So we mentioned in the previous sif that there was two uses for water besides adding water to the flour originally making the dough. In order that the surface of the matzah should look nice, you could sometimes pat it down with a little bit of water. So you scoop a little bit of water and pat it down so that water which it comes in contact, you know, as you do that, you touch it, you touch the dough, and you go and put your hands in the water, there's going to be a transfer of some particles of the dough into the water, and that water now becomes chametzik. And we said as a person works the dough, their hands get warm up, and that warms up the dough. So if a person is supposed to cool off their hands, stick their hands in cold water to cool off their hands. Well, that water that they stick their hands into, they have particles of dough on their hands. They put their hands into the water to cool off their hands. Meanwhile, the particles float off of their hands into the water and again become chametz. So that's the case of mekatev or mitzanin. So don't throw it, put it out in a place which is flat where it can gather together, but rather in a place which is in a madrin, which is in an incline, it shouldn't gather together. Kedesh l'yiz kapsa. And if it is miskabet, it's your particles, it's your chametz. Kimushu brishusoi, it's in your possession. Mio, however, lishbrachusam brishusarabim mutter becholanyan. But if this is talking about pouring out into your chatzar. If you pour it out into brishusarabim, even though it's a flat place and the water will gather over there, brishusarabim, so then that's not a problem. He's by throwing into Rosh Hashanah, he's clearly been mafkarit, so he has no responsibility for it. Okay. That's the first opinion. And that brings an Eliyahu Rab. V'yeisharim, no, the Philip should surabim. This is the Morgan Rum talking. Enochon lachachila, shalom lachem midrin. You can't throw it out. Should surabim lachachila in a place where it's the water will gather. Kima shub bezman iser chometz. Once already, it says after the zman iser. You can't create a situation where your dough will become chametz. Even though by the time it becomes chametz, it's already hefker. Because these particles of dough are matzah in the water, you pour it out in the chizadrabim, and then they sit there, and they become chametz. So by the time it becomes chametz, it's not your dough anymore. Now, yours, it came from your dough. The responsibility of not becoming chametz still remains the two. Shalos, I mean the mice you were mafker. So where is it? Where do you find such an issue? Pashas, they're coming from the following. Boar. The more says the shedom shedom shesus basar kolzeklem b'shusai. There are two things that really are not you don't really own. The Torah, halachically, gave you ownership. Consider them in your rishus. In order to create your responsibility, the Torah considered it's in your rishus. What are those two things? Chametz and Pesach after the Zman of Isser, and Bor Rishus Rabbim. Bor Rishus Rabbim, a person thinks all Rishus Rabbim. So he says, Pesach Bala Bor Yishalim, the owner of the Bor. Pays. It's like, how is he the owner of the boar? What part does he own? He owns the air. The air doesn't own. He owns the ground. The ground belongs to the rabbi. So what part of the boar does he own? What's he bala boar? The Torah calls him bala boar. The Torah made it that it's considered it's his rishos, etc. Even though it's not really his, the Torah did this in order to be mekayif for him to pay. So what about a situation where the fellow own the piece of property, your own property, you can dig whatever you want. You know, it's your own personal property, it's your private property, so you want to dig a hole. A guy comes into your rishus and falls into the hole, so say, my tough luck are you, like you came out to my property, you have to be careful. Okay, now he's mafka the property. Right? So you say, well, listen, Kozman was private, was my responsibility. Not a tefker, it's not mine. So what moment should I be held responsible for? The more says these guys. Because that kuvah, you're taking this, making this area now available, accessible and available to the rabbin, and in a way where you created a board that's just a rabbin. So that's not acceptable. So the chiddush of a son of Kasa Kilei Bereshusai applies even in this scenario when you didn't make it a chilun shizurabim, you made a chilun a place which is mutter, but later on you put it in shizurabim. You, as it were, put it in shizurabim by making when over here you can't physically pick it up. It means you were mafka your rishus, made your whole rishus part of the shizurabim. You're held responsible. So maybe something similar along the lines that part of the din of a son of Kosek and Meshuzah means that the Torah, even though you're mafka something, the Torah says you have responsibility for it. That's a good idea. Even though the Torah is mafka or you're mafka it, you have responsibility for it. So that's what he's holding. So once his manisher comes, the approach of hefka will not work. So you don't want it to gather in Mokam Echot. So you wanted to pour over Mokka Midrin. Now, what do you give Mokka Midrin? So as it flows, it's being machmet. Oh, that's okay. But if it sits in one place, it's being machmet. Oh, that's terrible. Like, what's the difference? What do you gain by pouring in Mokka Midrin? But meanwhile, it's going to be machmet. So Teretz is, Mokka Mechel, Yiru Bekarka. If you pour it in a place where it's just flat, the water is going to gather, large amount of water will gather there. So instead of being spread out and thereby making it easier to evaporate or to absorb, it's going to be a larger amount in one place. It's going to sit there and be a problem. Whereas if you pour it in a Mokka Midrin, what's going to happen is, as it goes down the incline, some of the water, you're not talking about the person who's pouring buckets and buckets, he's pouring a container of water. So as it goes down the Mokhan Midran, slowly but surely the water with the particles in it will be absorbed into the ground. So Kasim Ogan Ram, this heter of, this idea of using a Mokhan Midran obviously means a place where potentially it's going to absorb, not in a place where it can't absorb. So if it's tiled with a stone floor, so nothing will absorb, even though it's in a at an incline, it's at an angle. You didn't gain anything.
In a place where it's not going to absorb.
If you're pouring in a place where it's not going to absorb, it's going to be a problem. The whole head of pouring in Malkin Midrash is because it's way. If you pour it in a place where it stays stationary, it's going to sit there and become chametz. If you pour it in a place where it's going to go on an incline, it will, as it flows down the incline, it spreads out. And as it spreads out, so it becomes a thinner layer, so some will absorb, some will evaporate, and you won't have a problem. But if you're doing it on a surface which will not absorb, so you're back to square one. Without a circle, the Mara Belishbrach is son Acha Shakita Ben, Osinan Bayodav, Lacha Dachas Ha'areva, Neshem, Amaris Lahachmit. These waters have to be poured out immediately. We shouldn't wait, because Hayois, they were on the person's hand. There was a source of warmth in the dough already. The person's hand, the kneading, whatever it is. So they have a potential of becoming chametz right away. So right away you should get rid of the water. Okay. So that was the din of the mechaber. The Ramah came along and said that the kalim which you use for the making the matzahs and the knife which you use to cut it, the process of making matzahs, the standard way we make it into a the first person, the person who's the mixer, he receives the flour and then the water. Usually, what's done is there's three rooms or two rooms and like a small opening from each of them to a smaller area in between. The person who's the mixer stands in between. The person who's in the flour room opens his little window, pours out the measuring amount of flour, shuts the window, and the person who's in the water room opens his window and pours in the measured amount of water, the measured actually by weight, at room temperature. So we know exactly the right amount to put in. Then he shuts his window, but there's never a time where the flour and the water meet till they're actually in the bowl. Then we take it, eventually you make it into a dough, which is worked out. Eventually you roll it out into a long sausage type of thing, and you cut it into pieces. So the knife used to cut those things, these things should constantly be scraped off. There shouldn't be any dough which is sticking to them. And then afterwards you should wash them well and dry them well if you want to use them for the second round of baking. Okay. So that's what he says along the bays with Kalim. He's referring to the Kalim, Hano Ravis, that's the bowl, mixing bowls. Beitzim, Akulim, Sharachim, Behan, Matzahs, and the rolling pins. Redach, Shemenachar, Behan, Matzahs. And then the machine which makes the holes, it's called the redel. So all these things have to constantly be scraped down and constantly cleaned off from any potential of chametz. Okay. You should check the sticks which you use to put into the oven. In case a little piece of dough is stuck there. In other words, you could have argued that since it goes into the oven, so any little pieces of dough there, the heat of the oven will take care of them right away, but they're in the oven for a very short period of time. Maybe there's a piece which is a little bit larger, and the oven won't be able to address it in that short period of time that it's there. Okay. B'shasasiya. So the kalim which you use, and the kalim which you use, and the knife which you use to cut it, as you make the dough, these things have to be washed off. Between each set of dough, you want to clean it off. Even though we don't necessarily have a full 18 minutes between the doughs, a lot of times the doughs go much, the doughs goes more, go, are created much more quickly than that. So you don't have a situation where sitting in the time of the shir mil without being worked. You should be careful. Cleaning off the kelim in between each dough. So theoretically, what you want, if, according to this din, is that a modern matzah bakery, from the time the flour and the water mix in the bowl, hit in the bowl together, which starts the original kneading process, etc., until the second kneading process, until they make it into the sausage, and they cut it, and they start rolling it out, they put it in the oven, takes about 4 minutes. 4 minutes for a dough to be finished. That's much less than 18 minutes. So if you're still epic, so I could argue, I'll use the same bowl again. Even if I do it, I'll use it for three or four, I can theoretically get four rounds of dough in, of matzahs in, in my less than 18 minutes, in 16 minutes. So I'll make four batches of dough in this container without washing it off. Or I'll roll out four containers worth of matzahs without cleaning it off. So the Mishnah says, no, you shouldn't do that. That we would like the person in between each dough, even though theoretically, even if it wouldn't be clean, it's still not 18 minutes yet. We don't do the chachil. Okay. That means shayin shir mil bein kol isavis. Even though there's not a time lapse of the length of time, which should be problematic. This is a botzei kadabu pekelim eno shayin bali esik. She never went, let it go 18 minutes without being worked. Alva bekein the chachil tzarich lizer b'kach. You should be careful. B'chenabu sepes. But after you finish making, you should wash them off well. So it means all of that round of dough. You have to wash your hands in between. We want you to clean up the bowl in between each season. The way we do it nowadays at the Mishnah Berurah, the woman who's the mixer, between each, we wait till after two or three batches before the woman washes out her hands, and we wash out the kelim. Yeah. So we wait after two or three eases. This way, there's not a time lapse in the beginning of the first dough. Say after the end of the last one, there's not more than 18 minutes. Chenem megalgalim yashkichu imudbek biyudeim isa. The people who roll it out, we have to make sure that they check their hands. Because they have to wash their hands. Gam ken mishir mil the shir mil in between each time lapse of a shir mil. Chen yashkichu al etzem etzem hamegalgalim. We have to check the rolling pins. I read look on the hole makers. Shiunakima. They should be clean. I'll leave them and to exchange them to new ones. The guard will come to me at Bisman Hanister, or to before the 18 minutes to scrape off the chametz. The covering they put on the tables. You exchange the table for 18 minutes is up. Malkum Sharachan al Shulchan is the place where they, besides doing the rolling, okay, except for 1 second. Malkum Sharachan al Shulchan, regarding the Samizkuchis, Man and Hizkir. Sure, what he's saying over here, more than where you mix it, it means where you roll it, where else do you roll it? Oh, I'm sorry, okay, I mean, if he doesn't put a sad in that, if he puts it directly on the table, fine. If he doesn't put a layer down, he puts it directly on the table, so then regardless of Meskuchis, Bisman, and Iskrish, you're going to have to scrape it off clean during that 18 minute period. So that's so we do all of this in our we wait till 18 minutes. We have somebody who makes sure that the people are washing their hands and scraping down their kelim in between, and the mashgiach checks them, checks your hands and checks the kelim. Because acharim the minig anochin liyash shnei organim lo lishbehem, you have at least two containers to do lishan. Okay, ba'eis shalosh. While you're doing the lisha in the first one, Bashnia, excuse me, while you're doing the one you're working on right now, because of the second one, Yia Ish Echad Mukhan Lirchaz Rishana, so somebody's already washing out the first one. Well, Nagva Hetiv, and to dry it well, because otherwise there's extra water in the mixture. So while A is mixing, B is cleaning the other bowl. When A finishes the first bowl, B gives him the new, clean, dry bowl. So he has to clean it and then dry it. And then he takes the first bowl from the fellow and he washes that. And he keeps going around and around and around. It goes in a cycle. There definitely should be a mashgiach there overseeing the process, making sure everything is running properly. Okay. So the Ramah first said that you should scrape it down. The Machmirim scrape it down and then they wash it also. V'amarda in tzarek lahadicha, but the marda, which you put it directly in the oven, so that burns out in the oven, so any chametz that is there is burnt off. So no reason to wash it. Okay, now, so we're saying over here that this greater process, some people do hadocha also. What about if you're making matzahs and yomtiv? What do you do then with your kelim? You have problems of potentially of chomets, etc. You can have a goy do the process you want to clean it off. You're making matzahs and yomtiv, but you want the fellow on yomtiv to, he has to clean it out, so he has to grade the or wash them out well. Washing the dishes for, let's say, for later, not for immediate use, is considered the rabbanon. So it's two rabbanons. A goy doing something which is only a semid rabbanon. So it's a case of shoes to shoes, the mokum, a tzarech mitzvah of making sure there's no chametz here.
What's the machas shves?
There's having a goy doing washing the dishes.
Washing the dishes.
So washing the dishes. Normally, I can't wash the dishes unless I have a need for it. I can't wash the dishes. See, you know, over here, if I have a need, I need to wash it off because I don't want chametz to be there. But that's not a valid yomtiv need. That's a separate mitzvah need. So, so the issur of washing the dishes, which applies to Shabbos, would apply to Yom Tov also. But if I want to wash a dish to use for Yom Tov, I'm a mutter. If I want to wash dishes to be able to say it should be clean for after Yom Tov, I can't. I want to wash this over here, not that I kind of need it, it's because, no pun intended. The reason why I want to wash the dishes is because I don't want to have a chashash chametz. That's not a Yom Tov need. So the issur of washing kelim will still be in place. It's a shuzim argument. If there's no goy there, so put it into something cold, or and therefore that will, it'll stop the chemis process, or put them in into the oven, and therefore you'll it'll bake out, and if you're afraid it's going to come chametz, so bake it so it shouldn't become chametz. There is, so you have a keli which you're afraid there's some pieces of chametz in it. So put it into the fire, and it'll whatever pieces are there will burn off. So you're fine. So the mishnah brought lamev avitim l'tzernan shetzernan ma'akev l'hachmitz kalev asimatofim v'nzayin sebei. It's cold, stops the chametz process. V'yachmed esom kadei sheyirdu l'matzim b'mayim. We want them to make sure that they submerge, which that so being submerged in the cold water stops the process. You don't want it lying on top because then part of it is exposed to the air. It's not in the cold water.
What do you mean?
So I have this keli which is used for making matzah. I don't want to go around to. I can't wash it myself. I'm not making any more. I'm afraid the little particles of dough which are in the keli will become chametz. So I say, no, no problem. Stick it in ice cold water. It'll stop becoming chametz. Well, that's sort of true. Whatever part is in the water will stop becoming chametz. But part of the thing, it floats. So it floats on top. So the part of the dough which is above the water, because it's in the keli which is above the water, what's stopping it from becoming chametz? If I put a rock in there, which makes it go down under the water, I force it to be submerged, so that the cold water is on top of that dough, stopping it from coming home. It's, so I have to make sure that it submerges. Again, but there's also my yom pan to bake anymore, so then I can't wash dishes because they're not for the purpose of my yontiv needs. But if I need to bake further, so then I need to wash it to be able to bake with it. That's, of course, mutter. But if you're going to pan the bake further, so then you're allowed to wash the dishes that you to be able to use them. So different than washing your plates in your house to be able to use them. However, that's only a hetzer to wash. It's not a hetzer to scrape it down. That's some form of a memachek. You're smoothing something out, or you're reducing something. So that's potentially this is the rice and this is the rabbanon. So, yeah. So he says the card was also because of memachek. The other answer is stick it into the oven. And let the fire burn off any pieces which are there. That little piece which is baked off, you can't take it and eat it because maybe there's some part which is like stuck into the crevice of the kli which didn't bake as well. So that shouldn't be an etzah. Shema betzeg. That's the Ramosas. The Chumrin raised doubts about this approach. Since you can't eat it, because now, you're baking for no purpose. Kana can also lechol. So he's not planning to eat it. It's not proper to eat it. You can't who fish the tzarot. So it's baking on yomtiv for no purpose at all. But also, which is I can't bake on yomtiv for no purpose. That's not acceptable. So that's not an eitz. V'yesho et eitz shib yivatul hachomets kadam shiachmets yitzen hakelim v'botzik b'matar l'nochri. So we know the rule is, we know, we're familiar with this idea that you can't be mevatel after the Zman HaYisr. So that's not really 100% correct. You can't be mevatel chometz after the Zman HaYisr. If I have dough, which right now is not chometz, I made a dough, it's not chometz. But it's very possible, but it will. It's on its way to becoming chometz. So I came, right now it's still not chometz yet, it's still mine. The whole problem is that you can't be mevatel something which is not yours. Once it becomes asur b'ano, it's not yours. Well, it's not asur b'ano right now. Right now it's still matzah. It's not chometz yet. So you can be mevatel before it becomes chometz. So that's an eitzah. Or you could give it to a goy as a matana. So right now, again, once it's chometz, I can't be marked it on Pesach. I have no rishos to be marked it. I don't have a bialos over to be mevatel or to be marked it, etc. That's only once it becomes chometz. But before it becomes chometz, so you have a very good eitz. You can give it to the goy and solve your problem. Okay. Now. The Shartzian raises the question. We know the Chazal did not rely just on Bittul. So this Eitzah, no problem, just be mevatel, don't solve your problem. Yeah, but that you, there's a Chiyuv Bi'ur here. There's this pieces of dough which is a Chiyuv Bi'ur on. So we're saying, wash it off, they won't be there and they'll be gone and you won't have to worry about it. But you're saying, no problem, just do Bittul. Let me just do Bittul. There's a Chiyuv Bi'ur. But this halacha is only going to work if there isn't a kazayas. So he said that chiyuv we had before, the chiyuv beer is only if there's a kazayas there, or alternatively, if there are small pieces which they could gather together and become a kazayas, and the kli has all of them in the kli, so that would also be true. So a little here, a little there, adding up to kazayas, so you have a chiyuv beer. So my eitzah just doing bittul doesn't work in that case. The case where there's not going to add up to a kazayas, my eitzah bittul works. In the case where there is a kazayas, so I still need to beer. So he, and now on Yom Tov, I can't do beer on Yom Tov. So I have to come on to this other eitzah of I can give it to a goy matana. That's how I could do. I could put it in the oven. I can put them into the cold water. All of that, all those things would be at eitzes. Can't hold it here.